So last time we were together, we got through the first part of your strategic action plan. And now today, let's pick it up where we left off and get into it again and see where we can go from here. By the time we're finished today, you're going to have everything you need to build your own strategic action plan. Hey, welcome to the Business of Sales. I'm your host, Morris Sims. I have over 35 years training sales professionals who are actually business owners. And now, hey, I'm focused on helping those business owners run their businesses more effectively and efficiently in today's very fast-paced, ever-changing world. So on this show, we're going to interview some great business leaders and give you practical ideas that you can use today. So, hey, stick with us, please. We've got great things coming out, and it's going to happen right now. Part two of your SAP is your sales system. Now, this is a long one, so don't wear down on me here. This is important. The sales approach or your sales system consists of five steps, and here's what we call them. Those five steps are the approach, discovery, recommendation and presentation, helping the client make a decision, and finally, number five, follow-up and service. Now, if you do all five of these things, you include all five steps in your process, you have a much better chance of helping people solve their problem and frankly, to help you make the sale. Because when you make the sale, you're helping someone get what they want. Now, if you skip a step or you don't do it well, then you have a greater chance of not making the sale or solving somebody's problem. And golly gee, that's important. A professional has language that they use regularly in very similar ways every time. So if you know that language and you do it often and you practice it, then it's going to sound totally natural when you say it to somebody else. Now realize, you probably have heard it hundreds of times, and that's okay. So it sounds maybe repetitive to you, but this is the first time they're going to hear you say it. A professional knows what they're going to say and how they're going to say it. The approach is step one, and it's the language that you use to begin a conversation with a prospect to initially discuss your product or service. Might be something like, John, have you heard about the new tax law changes? Well, I tell you what, I'm concerned about it for myself because it could cost us. Now, something it's like this is not something we can do much about with right here and now, but why don't we have coffee one morning next week and I'll tell you everything I know about it. Would Thursday be good or would Friday be better? Bridget, what do you think about all this inflation? What's it doing to your plans to send little George to college? Yeah, obviously you got some time and so do I. We have some time before college, but I've been thinking about it and I have some ideas that you might find useful. Can we grab a cup of coffee one day next week and chat, and I'll share with you what I know? What's the language that you're going to use to approach prospects? The less you can say to set up your call to action, the better. Give them a reason to meet, a reason to have a call with you, a reason to have a Zoom meeting, and then call them to action by helping the prospect schedule a time to meet with you, to actually take that action, okay? So, again, it's not a long, drawn-out kind of a thing. It's a real short kind of a thing that gets down to, let's get together and talk. That's the approach. Discovery is the second step in the sales process, and this involves a list of questions that you're going to ask a prospect to make sure that they're qualified. If they're not qualified to do business with you, then let's not waste your time. Pardon me. Discovery is the second step in the sales process, and it involves a list of questions that you're going to ask a prospect to make sure they're qualified and then determine what they want. Your job is to show them how to get what they want or how to get something even better. There's several different types of questions you might ask. First is fact questions. That's, you know, where do you work? What's your date of birth? What's your annual gross income? All those factual kind of questions. Now, you don't want to do those one right after the other, right? Because it kind of feels like you're interrogating them. No, you mix that up with feeling questions. So what's most important to you? What's most important in making your business run well? Why is now one of the best times that you've ever had in your business? And there are a zillion others. Ask them how they feel about things. What do they think about things? You're trying to get to what is most important to them. They're checking questions you might use along the way to just to make sure you're talking correctly on about the same stuff and in the same way. It's things like, John, let me make sure I'm on the same page with you here. You want X, Y, Z, right? Not A, B, C. Or you could just say, Sam, did I hear you correctly on that? What I heard was, and then you're able to clarify and make sure that you're all on the same page. Or you might ask the magic wand question. If money was no object and you could do anything you wanted to do, what would your first and second priorities be? And lastly, you can always ask permission questions. And those are good to ask to get things going and help break the ice and get the questions rolling well. Sally, may I ask you a few questions about your family? The list can go on and on and on. There are many resources to help you find more questions to ask. And the questions that you ask should simply point you toward what's most important to your client and how your product or service is going to help them. The third step in the sales process is to build a recommendation for the prospect and then present it to them. Now, that process of building a recommendation is unique to you and your business. So make sure you know what that process is and make it a system, something that you do the same way over and over again, because that gives you good results. Write down that process and then stick to it. It's not something you need to change every time you do a prospect, every time you do a recommendation. How will you present your recommendation? Now, presentation is another system that you do essentially the same way every time, and it may be unique to you and your business. Make sure you know what it is and use it regularly. Actually, you know, I've taught entire workshops on proper presentation sales skills. So know what your skills should be and then practice them. Practice. That's how you get to Carnegie Hall, right? It's the most important part of the whole deal. If you want to learn how to do something, you want to learn a skill, the way you do it is to practice that skill. The fourth step is helping your prospect make a decision. Now, this is not pressure. This is not manipulation. It's just asking the client what they want to do and then help them get there. For example, Ed, which one of these plans do you think is best for you and your family or your business? Ed says, well, I think it's plan B. You say, hey, that's great, Ed. In order to start a plan like that for your family, I need a little information. How tall are you? What's your driver's license number? Do you use Ed or Edward on documents that are important, or does it really matter to you? The question you use here doesn't matter. It's simply a question you need to get everything started. It's a real question, a question about data that you need that they can answer easily and quickly to allow you to begin to do whatever you have to do to fill out the application or take the order or whatever is necessary to complete the sale. 96.5% of the time, the prospect's going to answer your question, and they're going to continue to answer your questions and then pay you for the first installment that's required for the purchase. Maybe it's 97% or 98.365%. It doesn't matter. The fact is, the prospect will follow you and they will complete the sale when you do it this way. It's called closing with implied consent. And it's simply allowing them an easy way for them to proceed with the process. Now, sometimes they're going to bring up some concerns, and if you allow them to, those concerns can put your process on hold. Well, we don't want to do that, so your sales system needs to have a way for you to handle those concerns, and there are many ways to do it. There are really only four different types of concerns. You need to know these four and then write out two or three answers to each of these four different types of concerns. Here you go. You ready? Four concerns. Number one, no money. You know, Morris, thanks a lot, but we just can't afford it right now. Or they might say, in a no hurry kind of a concern, oh, gee, it looks pretty good, but we need to think about this. Or the third type of concern you might get is no need. You know, Janet, we've been fine without this, and I think we're going to be fine going forward. Or number four, there may be a no-confidence objection. This looks amazing, but, you know, I think I want to talk to mom and dad, or my wife, or my husband, or my sister, or my brother, or my neighbor, or my stranger down the street who said that they know it all, and get their ideas before I make a decision. That's a no-confidence objection. There's always an answer to the objection. There's always an answer to the concern, and we can help you get there with those if you need help. But there are ways to do it. No hurry. I need to think about this. I need to think about it, Morris. Thanks, but give me some time. Hey, man, I certainly understand that. In fact, you know, it's a big decision. You need to think about it. There's no doubt. But look, what is it specifically that you want to think about? Because if you've got some questions or concerns, be better to bring those up now while I'm here and I can answer those for you. So what's on your mind? What do you want to think about? They ask you, you answer it, and then you say, great. All right, well, with that taken care of, then in order to get started, I need a little more information. What's your driver's license number? And you ask them to move forward. There's always a call to action. After you answer a concern, a call to action. After you suggest an appointment time, a call to action. After you present your three recommendations and get there, there's a call to action. Which one of these three do you think is best for you and your family? So what are your calls to action? You need one after an answer. You need one after a recommendation or a request. How are you going to call your prospect to action and do it the same way every time? It's the first time they'll ever hear it. The last step in the sales process is to follow up. You see, you're a professional, and a professional doesn't allow things to just fall off the edge of the table. What's your system to follow up? How do you make sure that you call back when you said you were going to call back? That's it in a nutshell, really. Professionals do what they say they're going to do. So what is your system to ensure that you don't drop the ball? Okay, that was a long one because it is how you're going to go through the entire process from meeting someone all the way up to helping them solve their problem.
Hey, y'all, hang on for just a second. I got something I just got to tell you. I'm giving away some free stuff, all right? Free stuff. I've got a copy in there of my ebook, Practical Influence, with ideas to help you improve your influence with other people. I've got some great marketing and prospecting ideas that are on an audio file, so you can listen to it while you work out or drive or whenever you'd like to. And we've also got some stuff in there on planning for 2022 to help you make 2022 your best year ever. Just go to morrissims.com/free stuff. That's morrissims.com/free stuff and get your free stuff. It's just that easy. All right, now back to the show.
Part three of your strategic action plan is administration. That's getting all the logistics and the whatever needs to be done in order to make the sale and put it in place for your client. What does that mean? Well, it means all that stuff that you probably don't necessarily like to do, but it all has to be done if you're going to make a sale. So who does what in your business? Who gets it all done? If your answer is, I do it all, then I got to tell you, in my experience, your business will either not grow or, frankly, it may not even survive. We all need help. So start thinking now about how you might be able to get some help. Virtual and part-time are great places to start thinking about it. You might be able to get a part-timer from high school or a part-time college student. You might be able to get a part-time virtual assistant. That's an easy place to begin, and you can get it done without too much work. What are the things that you don't like to do? Because, see, if you can do them, then you can teach your part-time assistants to do those for you. So go to www.fiverr.com, put in virtual assistant and social media manager or whatever you want there. And for like, I don't know, $20 for 2 hours a week, you can get that virtual assistant and social media manager. You probably don't need more than a couple hours a week. Maybe hire somebody to do all that non-business stuff that you need to do so that you can make more time for business. I don't know what that might be for you, but if there's somebody that can do some of that other stuff that's got to be done for your family or others, maybe that'll free you up. Explore options. That's all I'm saying here. Explore options and open your mind to possibilities. Well, we've never done it that way. Understand. Give it a try. See what you can come up with. Think on purpose about how you can become more effective and efficient. Brainstorm some ideas and then write it down and take a look and decide what are you going to do to help your business become more effective and more efficient. Now, part four of your SAP, well, that's putting your plan into action. And it's the last part of your strategic action plan. Implementation. How will you implement and start doing the actions that you put in your strategic action plan? So this is just how are you going to do? When are you going to start? How are you going to make sure you get it all done? This thing is an elephant, and you can eat this elephant, but only one bite at a time. So please don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed with this. I know this is a long show. You do not need to do everything on day one. Choose a path and go down that path on your journey to growing your business and do it one step at a time. You don't have to have all four parts of your SAP done by the end of this week. Start focusing on marketing and prospecting. Get that done and then move on to the next step. What you have to do is just really take a look at things. When are you going to begin doing the things that you have in your plan and what parts? Set priorities. What needs to be done first for your business? Maybe it's not marketing and prospecting. Maybe it's the sales system. Maybe it's administration. Where's your greatest need? Start there. Are the activities that you're going to do sequenced and on your calendar? You know how it is. If it ain't on the calendar, folks, it ain't going to get done, right? Well, what comes after that? You got something on there. What comes next? What's next? What's next? Is it on your calendar? Do you start with marketing and prospecting, or do you start by hiring a virtual assistant to help you get everything in order? Set priorities. Set priorities. Now, which one of these statements best describes you and your business? And this is how we're going to talk about priorities. Maybe I'm satisfied with my sales process, but marketing and prospecting, well, it's essentially non-existent, and I feel overwhelmed and disorganized. Well, then your first priority is to make sure that you have a planning system to plan your day. There's no reason to be overwhelmed. Reset your expectations realistically. That's where overwhelm comes from, is setting expectations that are outside the realm of possibility. Should you hire a virtual assistant or maybe hire a family member? That's what I did. Get some help to get your marketing and prospecting going and spice up your social media. Invest $100 in your business and try out a virtual assistant. gee, for $100, you might get 10 hours. You might say, look, Morris, I got it. I understand, but I want to do it all. I want to do it all myself, all four parts, and I want to do it now. I'm ready to go. I want to get this going. Okay, see, first priority above in the other answer. You got to make sure you got a planning system to plan your day. That's number one for this concern as well. You can't do it all at once, and you can't do it all by yourself all at the same time. So your second step, decide where you can invest your time and resources to get the biggest bang for your buck and start there. Set up your SAP on your calendar so that you'll know what you're going to do and when you will do it so that you'll know when you get it all done. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take some time, and you may need a bit of help from other people. Or somebody might say, I'm excited when I have any time to work on my business. I'm sorry, how could I ever get to do all this? Well, again, see first priority above. Really, that's what it's going to take for you to get a handle on what you can reasonably expect from yourself. Then get some help for business or non-business stuff. Don't do anything else until you get your personal organization under control. When you feel like you are in control and not the external environment, then you can start to plan and do things for your business, okay? The next thing is planning your business, and that's managing your minutes, because a business needs an annual plan, a monthly plan, a weekly plan, and a daily plan. That's a plan for you. Now, you need these planning processes so that you can reasonably accomplish what you need to do to get to what you want. For now, we're going to talk about weekly and daily plans. If you want to talk bigger picture, annual and monthly and stuff like that, we can have a conversation one-on-one. Don't hesitate to give me a call if you'd like to do that, okay? So here's how we do weekly and daily planning. Before Monday morning, write out a list of everything you need to do in the coming week. I'm talking about everything, business and non-business. I had to get a haircut this week. It was on my list. I got to go to the dentist. It's on my list. I got to record a podcast. It's on my list. All those things. Then you put each item that you have on your list, you take your list and you begin to take those items and put them into four buckets. Now, there are only four. There are no more than these four, okay? So don't get 10 or 12 or five. They're four. Number one, things that support my number one most important business strategy. Number two, things that support my number two business strategy. Number three, things that support my family. And finally, all those things that don't really have any priority. We call that the devil's vortex bucket, because that's where you can get lost and waste hours of your precious minutes. Okay, so get your calendar for next week. Schedule all your activities, all those things that are in your buckets, put them on a particular day, and that's your list of things to do for that day. Specifically, what day are you going to do that activity? Now, here's how you do this. First of all, you schedule all those things that you have to do next week that you really don't have any control over, right? The teacher's meeting at school where you got to go meet your child's teacher. You don't have a control over when that's going to occur. You got to be there. Okay, great. Done. Sunday church service. It's on your calendar and it's there because you can't change the time for church. What else? Appointments on the client, on your calendar that you have with clients or your boss or something like that. Live training classes that you're expected to be a part of, and those kinds of things that you've already got planned. Then put all those things on there that you want to do to support your number one strategy. Put all those activities across your week. Put them on each individual day the way you want it to happen. Number two, your things for your number two strategy. And then eliminate all the stuff in the devil's vortex bucket, or ignore it for now until it becomes a priority. If it's not supporting your family or your business, don't spend time on it until it impacts one of those two things. It's either going to go away or resurface as a priority, or maybe you could hire somebody else to do it. So what sort of things are in my devil's vortex? Well, it's all sorts of stuff, like getting my hair cut. That kind of becomes a priority when I begin to look shabby. Weeding the flower beds. I better hire somebody to do that. Getting the car inspected. If I can't get Carla to do it, then I guess I better do it. But I don't have to do it during the middle of prime business time or when I have other appointments on my business. I can do it later on or do it over the weekend. Cleaning my desk and organizing my stuff in my office. You know, right now, it's not too bad. But there comes a time, always does, always has, where, you know, it just gets to be so bad that I have to stop and I have to put stuff in files and I have to move things and I have to get organized. And it happens to all of us, but it's not a priority for this week. Buying birthday presents for the family. Now, that's not a priority for this week, but it will be a priority. Maybe not now, but it will be a priority, right? Planning and packing for our trip to Dune Allen over the July 4th weekend. That's something that I need to do, but it's not something I need to do today. That one can wait until it becomes a priority. So put each of your activities from your list of things to do this week, put them into one of your four buckets. Everything goes in a bucket. Everything. If you can't think of the right place to put it, then it goes in the vortex. All right? Now, plan each activity for some day of the week. Take a day. What am I going to do on Monday? What am I going to do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Put your activities across your week and plan for it. At the end of each day, then, you can take a look at your plan and say, okay, here's what I wanted to get done today. Here's what I actually got done. So based on what actually occurred, then you can make some minor changes in your plan for tomorrow based on what you were able to accomplish today. No need to replan the whole day or the week. All we're talking about is making tweaks, making small changes to what you need to do for tomorrow. Okay? Now, the last part of this whole thing in implementation is accountability. Here's the principle. You ready? Only you can hold you accountable. How are you going to hold yourself accountable? You know, we really don't need anybody else to tell us that we didn't do what we said we were going to do. If I don't do what I say I'm going to do, I know it already. I don't need somebody to tell me. I don't need somebody to beat me up because of it. I don't need somebody to bring it back up to my mind. I know, and I've already beat myself up probably, and I've already brought it up to my mind too many times. You simply need to have a system, a system to bring it to your attention so that you'll know the areas where you need to make changes going forward. There's no reason to punish yourself or no reason to have anybody else punish you. This life we live is all about looking at what we can do to make it better as we move forward on this journey. It is truly a marathon and not a sprint. So remember, you might just be planning too much. Even Wonder Woman can't get everything done that you've got on your list, all right? So set some reasonable, achievable expectations for yourself. You're very good at what you do. You don't have to do everything immediately. Get it on the calendar so that you know it will get done, and then do what you can do reasonably. At the end of the week, when you're planning next week's things to do, what are your results from last week? What do you need to do differently next week? Write it down and keep score. Yeah, keep score. What activity did you accomplish in the sales process? What were the activity objectives? Did you meet them? What was the score? And what changes do you need to make next week to improve that score? Keep score of those things that you're in control of. Those activities, those actions in the sales process that you're in control of. Not results that require other people's involvement, all right? Because here's the deal. When you keep score, the score gets better all the time. Never fails. The score gets better. So your scorecard, it only has things that you have control over. What did you accomplish and what was your objective? You decide what to measure. Just make sure you're in control, all right? Things like, how many people did you have an initial specific conversation with about business this week? How many actual sales processes did you get started? How many times did you actually get someone to start engaging with you in the sales process? Like, how many times did you actually start asking discovery questions? How many new people did you reach out to try and start that conversation about business? Create your own accountability system and describe what you're going to do to hold yourself accountable. That's what it really comes down to. Now, there you have it. Your strategic action plan is now complete, or at least you know how to complete it, right? Now, let me summarize a few of the important points that we talked about, because this is a journey of a thousand, or actually thousands of steps. It begins with the first step, and then the next, and then the next. It is an elephant, and you can eat an elephant only one bite at a time. Set your objectives for what you can accomplish from your plan realistically. If you feel overwhelmed, get some help or reset your expectations. Your to-do list, well, that's actually a list of the things that you get to do. I love that. I absolutely love it. This is not the things that I have to do today. Oh my God, how am I going to do all that? This is a list of, hey man, today's a great day. I get to do all of this wonderful stuff and have a blast doing it. Manage your minutes. Manage your minutes. Doesn't that sound good? I really like that. Manage your minutes. Not your days, not your weeks. Manage your minutes. Plan your work and work your plan. Heard that my whole career. Plan your work and work your plan. Boy, howdy, does that make a difference in your life. Know what you're going to do every day before you start the day. That one's critical too. You don't want to waste a whole lot of time sitting around going, okay, let's see, it's Tuesday. What do I need to do on Tuesday? Let's see. You got to plan for Tuesday before you ever got up in the morning. Take time to charge your battery. Take time to charge your positive battery. Today is going to be a good day. Today is going to be a good, good day. Call me if you feel overwhelmed or concerned for any reason. I want to help you. I'm here to help you. Give me a call. Drop me an email, morris@morrissims.com. And I'll be happy to reach back out to you and we can have a conversation, okay? Now, create your strategic action plan and then take it and put it in play for you and your business. You're going to be so glad you did, right? And until next time, make your business your own unique and special, your business, one that's going to meet your desires. I'm Morris Sims, and I'm going to see you again next week right here on The Business of Sales.